Tesla made money last quarter, a headline in itself. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The electric car company Tesla has delighted its investors with news late yesterday it did not lose money after all in the summer to fall quarter. While Tesla's performance can be volatile, it's the first profit in a year. The stock is up about 17% right now. Marketplace's Justin Ho is following this today.
Yeah, this is the first quarter since 2018 that Tesla earnings releases showed profits instead of losses. Tesla lost over $1 billion in the first half of the year. But last quarter, the company says a lot of its success had to do with record vehicle deliveries. That's basically vehicles that are sold and then delivered to customers. Also, cost control, keeping expenses down.
Yeah, but speaking of costs, the company's been working on some grand, if not grandiose, projects.
Right, a big factory in China, which Tesla says is now ready to go. It wants to build another one in Europe. And Tesla's also working on a crossover SUV and a semi-truck, and has plans for an electric pickup, too. One of its biggest projects is becoming a mass-market automaker. And a lot of that means focusing more on its cheaper models, like the Model 3 sedan. In fact, CEO Elon Musk on a conference call yesterday said the Model S and X cars, which run from $80,000 to $100,000, are pretty niche and not the company's focus right now.
We're continuing to make them more for sentimental reasons than anything else. They're really of minor importance to the future.
Still, all that depends on whether consumer demand keeps up. Analysts have suggested demand for new vehicles in the U.S. and China is showing signs of weakness. And also here in the U.S., the federal tax credit for electric vehicles will go away next year, and that could hurt demand too.
That's Marketplace's Justin Ho. Thank you very much. The stock market is open for the day, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 45 points, about 0.2%. The S&P 500 up 0.1%. NASDAQ is up 0.6%. The benchmark 10-year interest rate at the moment down at 1.74%. The European Central Bank sat tight today, leaving interest rates alone to give more time for stimulus to prod along the faltering Eurozone economy. In the U.S., a caution light when it comes to durable goods orders in September, which fell 0.5% more than expected. To explain, let's welcome Jeffrey Cleveland, the chief economist at Payden & Riegel, to the New York Bureau today. He's normally in Los Angeles. Good to see you.
Great to see you, David.
We did get orders for expensive, long-lasting goods in America. Durables. Doesn't look so good.
Durables can be a monthly, you know, noisy series. So that is something to keep in mind. However, we do, I think, David, have a dichotomy, a two-speed economy, as we've talked about before. On the one hand, business investment is weak and has been weak, and that's what we see, I think, reflected in the data this morning. The manufacturing, the industrial side, has weakened due to, in part, tighter interest rates from the Fed, but also the trade war. On the other hand, the consumer, still holding up. We saw initial claims this morning dip
Initial
down.
Jobless claims, they're down a little bit. Fewer people signing up for the first time for unemployment benefits.
Right, and we watch that because we use it as a proxy for layoffs, and we don't want to see layoffs creeping up. If layoffs creep up, that's usually a sign that the economy is about to take a turn for the worse. We don't see that right now. Layoffs are still low, so that's good news for the U.S. consumer.
That's the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles, Jeffrey Cleveland. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Securities and Exchange Commission in Washington has started an investigation into India's second largest company. Infosys is the software giant that does a lot of work outsourced from the U.S. A whistleblower complaint alleges unethical accounting practices. The BBC's Jagdeep Chima has more from Mumbai.
This comes after an anonymous group called Ethical Employees complained to the company's board and the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission alleging accounting and management misconduct to boost short-term revenues and profits. The complaints center around the firm's CEO, Salil Parekh, allegedly rushing through large deals before they received the required authorizations. India's own market regulator, the Securities and Exchange Board of India, is also looking into the matter.
Infosys stock is down 15% this week. Teachers in Hawaii are the worst paid public educators in America. This is when Hawaii's high costs of living are taken into account. The median or typical price of a single family home in the Honolulu area, $800,000, which is tough on a teacher's pay. There are contract negotiations in the fall. Hawaii Public Radio's Ryan Finnerty reports from Honolulu.
Around 40 teachers squeezed into a classroom at Honolulu's McKinley High School. Many were wearing red, the color worn by teachers around the country demanding better pay and benefits.
Thank you for coming to our teacher listening session.
The State Department of Education has been holding meetings like this around Hawaii to hear what teachers have to say about their pay. Lisa Morrison works at a school on Maui.
Half the teachers in Hawaii's public schools are working second jobs in order to fill in for the pay that they're not getting.
That's backed up by a survey conducted by the Teachers Union. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development considers a single person in the Honolulu area earning less than $67,000 to be low income. The starting salary for a certified teacher in Hawaii is around $47,000. Education advocates say that level of pay has created a teacher shortage. Hawaii began this school year looking for more than 1,000 certified teachers, 8% of total positions. Corey Rosenlee is the president of the Hawaii Teachers Union. After the meeting, he pointed out that many of the teachers present relocated from places like New York, Boston, and San Diego.
Districts where there are similar cost of living as Hawaii, and every single one of them said, I took a pay cut when I came here.
Multiple attempts have been made to increase compensation in recent years, but Hawaii voters last year rejected a ballot referendum to raise property taxes for education. State Senator Michelle Kadani sat in on the meeting. She led an unsuccessful effort to increase salaries through legislation and says she would like to find the money without raising taxes.
I think tax increases probably should be the last resort, but I do think we have to rearrange the budget and look at how we can help educate our young people.
In a written statement, State Superintendent Christina Kishimoto said her goal is to make sure compensation is competitive to attract and retain the best teachers to public schools. The current contract expires in 2021. In Honolulu, I'm Ryan Finnerty for Marketplace.
And Twitter announced this morning its revenue last quarter was hurt by weakening advertising. And while it was record growth in the number of users who see ads displayed on Twitter, stock is down 19% now. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.